Everybody should have a handout. And it's lesson number 4 of Psalm 37. We're going to cover verses 23, 24, and 25. And the title is Your Every Step. And you know what? Our every step, we're going to mention this morning how God is in control of our steps and how God is watching over our steps. And the introduction says, no reckless fate, no fickle chance rules us. We don't live lives by chance. We don't live our lives based upon, as the world looks at it, good fortune or bad fortune, or as others would falsely talk about, karma, or others would talk about coincidence, and all of these things, how the world lives their life, though by luck, good luck, bad luck. That's not the way a Christian lives their life. Alright? And we believe in the sovereignty of God. We believe that our steps are in God's hands, that God plans everything in our lives. And that God's in control of our lives. And He knows what we're going through, and He knows all of these things. So we don't live our lives by blind chance. Oh, well, this just happened to happen. No, God's in control of everything. Remember, we studied the book of Ruth some months ago. And we saw how Ruth just happened to go to the field of Boaz. Now, the world would call that coincidence, good luck, or chance, good fortune. But when we read that book of the Bible, we know that God directed her there. There's no chance. And it says, our every step is the subject of divine decree, as Spurgeon says there. So, our lives, it's a story unfolding. And God is unfolding it step by step.
That's sorcery, luck.
Right.
Sorcery.
It all falls under the same umbrella,
it's
right?
It's sorcery. I have people that say, well, you're not so lucky. I say, I don't believe them.
We don't believe them.
We believe in the leader. That's sorcery.
That's right. Now, let's look at verse 23. This is a great verse. We previewed this verse last week. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord,
Amen. And
He delighteth in His way. So we're going to start with verse 23, and we're going to say number 1, they are directed steps from verse 23, where it says they're ordered by the Lord. They're directed by God.
Amen.
We have directed steps. God is directing us in the right direction. God is pointing us in the way we ought to go.
Amen.
And you know, letter A, life is made up of the little steps that we take each day. Life is made up, letter A, of the little steps. Little steps. One step at a time.
Amen.
It's interesting how the Bible often compares the Christian life to a walk. Alright? Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Right? And the Bible talks about walking in the light. The Bible talks about walking in holiness. Alright? The Bible talks about the Christian life as a walk. Once in a while we see the analogy of run the race with patience, right? But even so, even that type of a race, it's not a quick sprint, the Christian life. It's a long-term race. So the Christian life is mostly compared to a walk. And how do we walk? One step at a time, right?
Amen.
One step at a time. One foot in front of the other. It's not by leaps and bounds like sometimes we want it to happen. We want it to happen by big jumps. It's one step at a time. Little steps that we take. And how should these steps be taken? Letter B. Every step we take should be bathed in prayer. Before we take a step, we need to pray. Boy, if we made decisions just based upon what looked right to us, or what we thought was best, we'd get into a lot of troublesome situations.
Amen.
Every step needs to be bathed in prayer. Remember, we studied in the life of Joshua, when Joshua and his men didn't pray, and those Gibeonites came in Joshua. And those Gibeonites made themselves look like they were from a faraway place, but they were actually neighbors of where Israel was. Remember, God's instructions were to Joshua, destroy all the Canaanites. Well, the Gibeonites made themselves look like they were from far away, and they made a big agreement. And it says, we don't read that Joshua prayed. And he just looked at them and said, okay, I believe it. And he went right into it, and he made a bad decision. And there's a lot of stories in the Bible like that.
Oh, true. And so, Eve, they fear me,
there's any doubt, don't. Look at Jeremiah 10:23. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. We need to bathe our steps in prayer to prevent trouble. Look what it says here in Jeremiah 10:23. Jeremiah says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Jeremiah says, it's not up to us to figure out our own way. Jeremiah says, it's not up to us to work it out on our own. He says, it's not in man. It's not in ourselves. Well, I need to discover in myself what I ought to do. No, we need to discover from the Lord what we ought to do. Because another verse in Jeremiah says, the heart is desperately wicked, it's deceitful, it will lead you down the wrong road. So, I know that the way of man is not in himself. See, that's why he says in verse 24, Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 10:24, "O Lord, correct me." That's a great verse. "But with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing," you know, Lord. But in other words, Jeremiah says, "Lord, gently correct me. Point me in the right direction." Okay, not in thine anger. We don't want to, nobody wants to be under the wrath of God or face God's anger. But he says, "Lord, correct me." We need correction. How about Proverbs 16, verse 9? Another verse about praying, making right decisions. Proverbs 16 and verse number 9. Notice, a man's heart deviseth his way. Sure, we're good at coming up with plans. We're good at planning our life. You know, this is how I want everything to work out. But look at what it says in verse 9. "But the Lord directeth his steps." It's really the Lord that's directing our steps. You can plan all you want, and that's not necessarily wrong to plan, but realize your plans may not come to be. God is directing your steps.
Amen.
He's leading you. Alright, so they're directed steps. And what other steps should we be taking? We need to bathe it in prayer, and then letter C on the handout, believers are to be following the steps of Jesus. What kind of steps should we be taking? Well, steps that follow are following Christ. 1 Peter 2:21. We should always consider, what would the Lord have me do? 1 Peter chapter 2, talking about the steps of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, where the Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called," see that? We've been called to do this by God, "because Christ also suffered for us," notice, "leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." The example of Christ. The lifestyle he lived. Yes, Brother Paul.
I was just thinking, the Lord Jesus is always the perfect example for it. But I guess to illustrate it, in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweat, drops of blood falling from the
right.
brow, and the cross before him, he
right.
submitted.
Yes.
"Not my will, but thine be done."
Amen, that's good. Even when it's difficult, and Jesus knew what was ahead of him, he still submitted to God's will. It's a good example. And that's a practical thing, because a lot of times, what God wants us to do is not always lining up with what we want to do. We have our heart set on this, but God says, "No, that's not what I have for you. I want you to do this," and it's that's where the battle lies. What do? Well, we got to submit. How about letter D? Steps need to be well planted to prevent slipping. Nobody enjoys slipping, right? Walking down the sidewalk and all of a sudden you slip and nobody enjoys that, okay? And you look around to make sure nobody else saw you. Nobody enjoys that. So what we need to do is we need to make sure each step is well planted. Oftentimes we slip because we were careless. Maybe we weren't looking. And we didn't see that the curb dropped off there and we fall down. So a lot of times we fall because we're not looking. Make sure each step is well planted. Watch where you're stepping. Look at Psalm 73. Psalm 73. And the book of Proverbs talks about pondering the path of your feet, making sure you're taking the right steps. And in Psalm 73, verse 2, the Bible says, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." We read this psalm a few weeks ago where it says in verse 3 how Asaph was envious at the ungodly. He says, I wasn't really watching where I was going, and I was just, as he's talking about as a believer, in my walk with God, he said, I was slipping. And that happens a lot to Christians. They're not careful, they're not watching, they're not aware of what's going on, and all of a sudden their feet slip out from under them, they fall down, and sometimes they lie there on the ground for a long time as a Christian. You know, that they fall down and they just stay down. You know, maybe they fall out of church and they stay out of church, you know. Or they fall into some sin and they just stay there instead of getting back up. And that's what the devil wants.
I don't know if you agree with me, but I think there's a difference between stumbling and falling. Mm-hmm. But I think we all stumble.
Right.
If we're honest. And the thing is not to stay down.
Right.
To get back up.
That's good.
I'm not a Kennedy fan, but I did, when I was in the doctor's office yesterday, his son was missing a leg, and he slipped on the ice. Mm. He's telling the story in the eulogy.
Right.
He talked about how his father, Ted Kennedy, told him, never give up. Mm-hmm. Get back up and keep trying. I'll be here all day. And
right.
Do it.
That's good. And you know what? We're actually going to get to that. That's good. Yep. Hey, no, that's fine. Here we go. Look at letter E. Now, we need to read back in Psalm 37. You need to look back at the verse. We saw in Psalm 37:23 the steps. All right? So life is made up of little steps. But then it says, of a good man. And you know, very simply, letter E, God wants His children to be good. Just like any parent tells their children, be good. God, our Father, says, be good to His children.
Amen.
Very simple, elementary concept, but yet we struggle with it, right? We need to live the good way that the Lord would have us to live. He wants us to be good. And letter F, it's when we are living godly lives, we can have the assurance of God's guidance. Letter F. As we live godly lives, we have the assurance of God's guidance. Because we know in our heart, all right, I'm doing my best, and as Brother Paul said, and we're going to see that, not that we're perfect, but we're doing what we can, we're striving, as the Bible says, pressing forward. We know God's going to be with us. He's going to lead us. Whereas on the other side of the coin, when we're living carelessly, when we're doing what we want to do and not what God wants us to do, you don't have a guarantee of God's blessings, that's for sure. Now, sometimes in spite of our sin, God still blesses. He's a good God. He's a loving God. But I'll tell you what, He often will say, all right, you're going your own way. He's going to let you stumble and fall so you can learn, right? Sometimes you have to learn the hard way. Look at Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. But when we're living godly lives, we can have the assurance of God's guidance. We know, all right, I'm seeking to please the Lord. He's going to lead me. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but Isaiah 30 and verse 21 speaks about God's guidance. In Isaiah 30:21, the Bible says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Meaning, God will guide you and say, yes, this is the way. When you have any concerns or questions or what should I do, and you've prayed about it, and then God, in His way, will give you peace, and He'll say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. He'll guide you. And letter G, God is pleased when we are walking in His ways. Because the rest of Psalm 37:23 shows us God is pleased when we are walking in His ways. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. God will be pleased. You want to bring delight to God? Right? It should be every Christian's desire. Their number one desire should be to make God happy. That, I mean, again, a very simple concept. What should be a Christian's desire? It should be to make God happy. In other words, you evaluate yourself. Am I pleasing God with my life? And that's a question you have to answer in the quietness of your heart. You know, is the way I'm living making God happy? Or are there things that I know for sure are not making God happy? Right? We want God to be happy. It says in verse 23, if you want God to be happy, well, you got to be living the godly life, following His steps. Because the end of the verse says, He delighteth in His way. But if we're not, then God's not pleased. So, God is pleased when we're walking in His ways. And then letter H, another quote. Letter H, speaking about how God guides us and how we need to follow it. It says, He does not always show Him His way at a distance. In other words, God doesn't show us the end all the time, what's at the end. But it says, but leads Him step by step as children are led, and so keeps Him in a continual dependence upon His guidance. God wants us to be continually depending on Him. And that's why it's step by step. God doesn't just say, okay, here's what the rest of your life is going to be like. Here's where you'll be in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. This is how it's going to be. Go ahead and follow the plan. God doesn't say that. God says, no, it's day by day. Follow me. Stay close to me. God doesn't want us to be distant from Him. See, if God showed us the whole rest of our life, if He wrote out the rest of the story, we'd be inclined to just, all right, well, I don't need the Lord anymore. I got the plan for my life, and I'll just go with it. Whereas if we don't know what lies ahead, we need to stay close to the Lord, don't we? Because we don't know what lies ahead. We don't know what's going to be next year. Never, and really, matter of fact, we don't know what's going to be tomorrow. The Bible says, for thou knowest not what may be on the morrow. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And we think we know what we're going to be doing 5 years from now. We don't even know what we're going to be doing tomorrow. Okay? And we have an idea. I'll wake up in the morning, go to work, or this and that. But God might have different plans, right? So, Tony?
Yeah,
well...
He's even calling it day, 2001.
Yeah, he needs a lot more than that.
He calls it day, and most times he thinks it's going to be life one of these days.
We got to be a complete dependence. One day at a time, right? Don't worry about 10 years from now. Worry about today, because that's what you have. Worry about living for the Lord today. And really, if you do it that way, if you say, all right, I'm going to live for the Lord today, and then you live for the Lord tomorrow, and you live for the Lord on Tuesday and Wednesday, guess what? When you look back after the years have gone by, you'll be right where God wants you to be. Because if you live for the Lord every day, you're going to end up in the right place.
Amen.
We get so worried about next year or the year after or what am I going to be doing? We get so worried about, you know, years when we need to be worried about days, one day at a time. So directed steps. Number two, they are determined steps. Determined. And this is more so on our part. So yes, God directs our steps, but we need to be determined to take the right steps. And it's where verse 24, as Brother Paul mentioned, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Though he fall. That tells us you will fall. That tells us you will stumble, as we mentioned. So that's letter A. You will fall in your walk with God. It's going to happen. You will fall. And realize this as well, letter B. Standing is only one step from falling. Often we pride ourselves in how strong we're standing. Look at me, I'm standing strong for the Lord. It only takes one step to trip. Right?
Amen.
Yeah. It's right there. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 10:12. We need to realize, you know, don't pride yourself in saying, look at how strong I'm standing. The moment you do that, you have already prepared yourself for a fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. We always need to just have the attitude of, praise the Lord. The Lord's upholding me. Not, look at me, how strong of a Christian I am. No, no. The moment you think that way, you're in trouble. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Those who think, oh, I'm so great, I'm standing strong for the Lord, look at me. Now, beware, Paul says. Because then verse 13 talks about, hey, you're going to be tempted. And don't be surprised when you are, because there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. We all face the same temptations. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." See? So you don't pride yourself in standing, because you will be tempted. And don't be surprised when you're tempted. That's normal. But you have to look to the Lord. He provides a way of escape. So, standing is only one step from falling. But then when we do fall, let her see. What do we do? When we do fall, God wants us to get back up. Let her see. Because that's what it says in Psalm 37:24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. You're not supposed to stay down. It says, "For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." He'll help you to get back up. But again, notice, who helps you to get back up? It's the Lord. "For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." And a lot of times we think that, oh, well, I got to get up in my own strength. No, you got to put your dependence in the Lord. When you fall, you got to look to him. When Peter began to sink in the water, he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord picked him back up. Right, Brother Paul?
Yeah, when I was a baby Christian, new Christian, 79, an elder in the church gave me really good advice to keep short accounts of God. And 1 John 1:9 is the
right
key verse.
That's right.
When we come, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He's faithful.
Yep.
And does forgive us our sins and cleanse us.
Amen.
From all righteousness.
Keep short accounts of God. You know, as soon as you fall, as soon as, don't wait. Why wait? You know, again, you wouldn't think of falling down and tripping and then just staying there, you know, for a week. You get right back up. You don't want to stay on the ground, okay? And same thing in your Christian walk. Don't, if you trip and stumble, get right back up. Don't stay in it. If you fall in the mud, we all do sometimes, if you trip and fall in the mud, get cleaned up right away.
Amen.
Don't stay in the mud. Okay, get back up. And you know, letter D, the Lord will always be there to help you back on your feet.
Amen.
He's always there. He's always there to help you back on your feet. And Psalm 40, verse 2, if you just turn ahead a few pages, it says, Psalm 40, verse 2, "He, that is God, brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay," that mud, "and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." David there says, hey, I was in the mud. I fell in the mud, David said, but God pulled me out. He'll pull you out of the mud. So the Lord is always there to keep you or help you back on your feet. And then also, thankfully, letter E, God can also keep you from falling as you look to him. Just because you fell in the mud at this one time, doesn't mean you have to keep falling in that same mud hole. God doesn't want us to keep falling into the same mud holes. Then there's a problem. If we keep falling back into the same problem, then we're not growing. We all have struggles, we all have weaknesses, and we're all going to fall, but we ought to, after we get back up from that sin, after the Lord lifts us back up, we ought to have, as we're saying here, determined steps, determination to say, by God's grace, I don't want to fall back in that mud hole. And you know, when you learn where the mud holes are, you avoid them, right? Oh, that's a mud hole over there. I'm not going near that place anymore. Last time I went there, I got into trouble. Or, you know, this is a problem for me. This is a weakness for me. And when I put myself in this situation, I fell. And you know what? Nobody's strong enough to fight sin in their own strength. So guess what? I'm not going to go into that situation again. I'm going to avoid that situation entirely. Avoid the mud holes. If you know there's a mud hole over there, don't go near it. But like little kids often do, they want to go right up to the mud hole. You know, your mommy and daddy said, don't step in the puddles. And they want to go right up to the puddle. And of course, naturally, you know, one little shove by their brother or sister and they're in it. And that's how it happens to us. We need to avoid it altogether.
Like you just said, as a good example of that 7-year-old girl that drowned, they told them not to go, don't even put your ankles in the water.
Right.
She did. The wave came up over her head, swept around.
Yeah.
She drowned.
Exactly. You know, it's an example of Christians oftentimes. Too close to the edge, and they fall and they get swept away.
Light goes down, stop.
Yeah. Yeah. They take it lightly. Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we shouldn't take it lightly, right, Maria?
I know at my job where, you know, the whole group is many Christians work with, you know, if something happens or they say something they shouldn't say or do something, they go, oh, girl, it's like a world.
Yeah. That's like a cop-out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not the attitude we should have. We need to avoid it. And you know, Jude 24 says he's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his throne. He can keep you from falling. Now, we will fall, we will stumble, but afterwards we ought to say, Lord, by your grace, I don't want to fall again. So, determined steps. And then lastly, number three, delivered steps. You know, God will deliver us. Delivered steps. He'll deliver us from those troubles. And he'll also deliver us from a lot of difficulties. Psalm 37:25, David says this, I have been young, and now I'm old. So David was an older man when he wrote this psalm. But he says, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Letter A. King David lived a long life and observed much. King David lived a long life and he observed a lot of things. He saw a lot of things in his life. But he says, there's one thing I never saw in all my years, David said. I've never seen one of God's children begging bread. He said, I've never seen one of God's children begging bread. He said, God takes care of his children. That's what David's saying here. Since I've been young, I've been old, but I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God takes care of God's children. Right? He takes care of his children. Let's contrast this idea with Psalm 109, verse 10. Let's see the opposite side. Psalm 109, verse 10. This is scary. This is a warning to those who want to live an ungodly lifestyle. Psalm 109. Talking about the wicked. You see verse 2, we'll go back a few verses. Psalm 109 verse 2, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compass me also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Now, this is where it gets a little harsh. Psalm 109 verse 6, set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of the desolate places. That's the opposite side, the ungodly, those who hate God, those who hate good. They don't have any blessings. But those who love God and those who live for God, they're going to be taken care of. And you know, letter B, God has promised to meet your needs when you put Him first. That's a promise. God has promised to meet your needs when you put Him first. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We talk about promises in the Bible. And of course, we think of spiritual promises. God has promised us eternal life, right? Those who put their faith in Christ are promised eternal life. But how about just the everyday things? God has also made just as strong of a promise in Matthew 6:33, where Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now these things, the previous verses, talking about things like food and clothing. That's what these things are. So Matthew 6:33, put God first, and He'll provide for your needs. That's a promise from the Bible. And then letter C, our financial difficulties could be due to some unwise choices. We mentioned that last week, and this psalm talks a little bit about it, but sometimes our financial difficulties, maybe it's due to some unwise decisions we've made, and we need to ask God for wisdom and how to get back into a good standing in that area. Psalm 37. Again, I think of, you know, we hear on the news about people that are going through hard times. And we know that some people are honestly going through a hard time, maybe through the loss of a job and through different difficulties. But then I think of those people who get up there and they're crying the blues about their financial difficulties, but it's because they have 3 maxed out credit cards. That's the result. See, now that has nothing to do with the economy. That has to do with unwise stewardship. Okay, so we need to be careful of knowing the difference between, okay, yes, I'm genuinely going through a hard time and I need the Lord's help. And yes, indeed, many are going through a genuinely difficult time. But then there's the others who they've made themselves in that situation. They've put themselves there. And they need the Lord's help and the Lord will help them. But we need to make wise decisions. But again, David says, I've seen a lot of things, but I've not seen the righteous forsaken. God will provide for them. So the conclusion talks about just as parents are pleased with the tottering footsteps of their babies, right? All that concerns a saint is interesting to his heavenly Father. God cares about us. When this pilot undertakes to steer their course, their vessel shall never split upon the rock, run upon the sands, or spring a leak so as to sink in the seas. God has not set us out there just so we can sink and crash, right? God is one who upholds us, as we saw in verse 24. And he, in verse 23, orders our steps. So every step we take is guided by the Lord. And next week, we're going to look at the next few verses, verses 26 through 31. Some interesting verses there. We'll cover those next week. So if you want to read ahead, and we'll go ahead and close in a word of prayer. And let's see if we can have Brother Henry.